Well, good morning and welcome. We're glad that you're with us today. And those of you joining us online, thank you for your presence with us in that way. And we're excited for the day ahead of us here this morning. We've had some great introductions to the service today, in the sense that we're going to have some different people participating with us this morning and welcoming them, and looking forward to the time together. I'll introduce them in just a minute. As far as announcements, I hope that you will take a moment and pull that bulletin up and take note of that. One significant announcement is there are no evening activities tonight. So make sure that you're aware of that. Nothing here in the building. There is no Awana, no Bible studies, nothing that we have organized. Your staff, myself included, are going to be heading into a retreat mode for the next few days, and so the offices will be closed, and we'll be away. But if you need to reach us, feel free to do so through our cell phones. But your staff is going to be taking some time to discuss and to interact with one another, get refreshed, recharged, and also invigorating our calendars and what the Lord has and some themes that we're working on. So I'd really appreciate your prayers for us as we'll be away for the next couple of days, and ask that you ask the Lord to give us wisdom as we start to really think about what is coming and energizing us as a group for what is happening in the turn of the year, as well as into the next phase of life as the Lord is leading us. As I mentioned earlier, we're excited to be able to have two separate, really, packages of individuals. It's good to have the Hodges here, Doug and Paula, and Doug is going to be speaking this morning, but it's also great to have representation from the Glodfelters, and Carmen is going to be coming in a little bit and sharing about the ministry that is going and some heaviness. There are some burdens and there are some wonderful things that God is doing, and very excited to have her, and then Casey, and then Cody's now wife, Courtney, here. And Cody is here. He must have ditched when he knew he was going to be introduced, but it's good to have them, and looking forward to spending some time with them this morning. And I hope that you will make every opportunity to get by and greet them, and looking forward to that. We're going to open with a word of prayer, and I'm going to let you remain seated, because right after we pray, that we're going to be seeing a video from the Glodfelters and their ministry. It's an update, then Carmen's going to come and share a little bit about that. And then we'll get into our time of worship together as the Lord gives us opportunity to sing and to rejoice in who our God is. Let's open the word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for this day, and we're mindful of the seasons. Lord, thinking about how the leaves are changing, and we see the earmarks, the reminders that there is a season that is coming where things will grow colder and we will face the harshness perhaps of a winter. But Lord, we are reminded as well that there is life that comes even out of death. There is hope that comes through suffering. There is joy that comes even through tribulation. And I thank you for the ways that you are working, even in our midst, in our church, and in the lives of others who are serving around the world. And Lord, we're just grateful for your presence, the reality of who you are, that you are truly a gracious and a good God. And so, Lord, we come today excited to hear what you're doing in other parts of the world and what you're doing even in our own land. But, Lord, grateful that you are at work, and it is not dependent upon the political sphere, but, Lord, more upon the power that you possess to change lives and doing it through the gospel. So bless our time here this morning, I pray. And I pray that you will fill us with a realization, a burden again, not a something that is grievous, but, Lord, something that is truly meaningful, and that we have a purpose in playing a part in what you're doing, not just here in our own backyard, but globally. So Lord, use this time, we pray, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We're Ed and Carmen Glodfelter. Looking back on our journey, it's really hard to believe that we've been in Southeast Asia for these past 20 plus years.
We joined Live Global in 1997. We spent our first 14 years in China, and then we moved to India, where we've spent the last 8 years.
In both of those countries, our ministry never changed. We came alongside partners, national partners, to help them in their ministries. We don't go there to create ministries. We come alongside national partners who God has given a vision and a goal how to reach their people.
It's so exciting working with the national. They know their culture, they know their language. They help us so much when we come to work for them. We find out where their needs are, ministries that they have vision of, but can't quite create it. and we help create that vision for them.
Our primary ministries involve the local church. Carmen and I are firm believers that God's plan for the world and for these nations is through the local church. Even in China or India, the local church is on the move. God's doing some great things in both of those countries through the church, for which we're privileged to be involved in. However, as everyone knows, within the last year and a half, 2 years, COVID and the pandemic has changed everything.
Ed is correct. COVID-19 certainly has changed things. The world has changed, that is for sure. And as we move forward, and we've been talking to our national partners, we will be going into another phase called our post-COVID phase. Visas are an issue. And before we left India, we were talking to our local partners, and they wanted to remove us more away from the church and have us start a business that would be for consulting and having consultants, so maybe we could get our own visas. Since we have been isolated because of COVID and not able to be in our country, we have taken this time to take more classes and more certifications so we can prepare ourselves to start a consulting firm. We look so forward to getting back to where we came from. We're getting a little homesick, but we know that this time is used to make us better and to reinvent ourselves.
As Carmen alluded, countries around the world are going to be becoming more restrictive, not open up more. So we have been back in the States during this COVID period to kind of like prepare ourselves for the next phase in India. We have a very exciting opportunity to come alongside our national partner in Kolkata in helping to establish an English training center. Now this training center is in the heart of a Muslim and a Hindu community for which they desperately need Christ.
This area was strategically planned. It's so great to know that in the darkness there can still be light. We will be part of helping our partners with this training center, bringing English lessons and small business ideas to this area to help the local people. It is great to know that no matter how dark it is, His light still shines, and we are looking to see His light shine in this area.
Rest assured, God is chasing the darkness in all corners of the world, and we're just privileged to be part of that. We want to thank you for all the support that you have been throughout these years, both prayerfully and financially. We couldn't have done it without you. It's with your prayer support that God has done so much amazing things, so many amazing things that we can't even enumerate. So as we look forward to returning back to India, we want to covet your prayers that God will uphold us and keep us going.
We do covet your prayers. Continue to pray for the ministries as they continue on, as we try to work back and forth through Zoom, Skype, and all different venues. We thank you for all that you do for us. And so until next time,
Bye-bye.
See you.
With a microphone here to Carmen and let her explain more for us today. Thank you, Carmen.
Oh, it's so good to see you. I came with a video because last year at this time I was here too and Ed wasn't with me. And I was fearful that you would think I had ditched him or done something to him or done him in. I've done him in many ways. But thanks for having us. As you know, we have been back in the States. We've been staying in Indiana, which has been very strange for us too. It was a place we had never been before. But with things changing here in Chattanooga when we were coming back, we are grateful for Parkside Baptist Church to provide a house for us. Ed landed in India last night. He took off Friday. Our visas are about to expire, and you have to be in the country to renew them. We were granted a visa 3 years ago with the potential of having it renewed for 5 years. And the government has found favor in our work that we're doing there, that they have honored that visa. Even though we've been back in the States, Ed's been on the phone constantly with our team there. And as we said, we were able to raise funds and have a new transformation center right before COVID hit. But during all this time, they've been able to remodel it. And when India reopens, that will be a church for us, but it will be a community center where the English lessons and other things we've been doing in that city for the last 3 years, the children now will have a place to come. It is, as Ed said, a Hindu-Muslim area, and it was strategically placed. You look for a dark place where there is no light, and that's where you set up. And we're so grateful. We look forward to seeing what the team there will do. We look forward to getting back with them. India is still closed. I think they're just about to reopen, so they've been down since March of 2020. Schools have not been opened. And but they just had their whole month of called the puja, the Hindu worship. So they're not sure after that if COVID, the third wave will go through. Ed is in India to get the visa. If he doesn't have it within 6 weeks, he will return back. We have a lot of projects that we're currently working on, and we thank you for that, all that you're doing for us. We're still in, have a foot in China. We've been working with the administrative team at the school. As many of you have heard, the last 2 years has been very difficult for even the Chinese. It's more than COVID. As we all know, China is on a movement. They have bought up most of Africa. They've been doing that for the last 10 years all around the world, buying resources and things like that. Now, if you had seen the news, all of the online teaching companies, I think this was $1 billion plus, it was $1 billion plus business, over a million Chinese children were taking online classes. Those have all been banned. And everything has to be pulled out, I think, by the 1st of October if it hasn't already. When we went to China and we worked with the underground church, I never thought that I would be working underground with my own school right now. So pray for us as we continue. They wrote me, they had to go public, and they had to take in 80 new students. So we ran a school of 100 in a private school. Now it's 180 to 190 kids public. And they wrote and said, can you reconstruct our school so that we aren't just another kindergarten? We don't know how to do that. And I'm like, you're already ahead of the game. Thanks to all of you and all that you have invested in that school. They are so much more than a school. They are a house of love for children. And you have had such an impact in that school. I pray that you would lift them up today because they always could count on themselves. Chinese will do anything. They will not lose face. And the burdens that they carry would be enough to break our backs. But they continue to do it. Please let them see God and Jesus in this. They've come to know our administration that God does exist. Now they need to know that He is their everything. Continue to pray. We are still in. I don't know what our next trip will be, what visas are still suspended, but praise the Lord that we still have the contact there with them. India is hurting in so many ways, and it's getting harder and harder for people to go in with the gospel. Ed says they're starting to be harder than China. So as we have been back in the States, we've been working, getting certified in many areas so that we can go back to hopefully open a consulting firm. We have to pull ourselves further away from the church, not in work, but just physically, because any association could hurt the church now, and they're trying to cover themselves. We've had a lot of loss this year. We've lost 4 colleagues on our Indian team, and one of our pastors was killed in a motorcycle accident 3 nights ago. He was struck by a drunken driver. Even my assistant was in a rickshaw, and the gentleman was drunk, and he drove them into something and killed himself, but broke both of her legs. One of our other helpers, her son, Cody's age, died of cancer over this course of time. And like we said in the video, no matter how dark it is, His light shines. And no matter what loss we had, He brings us hope. And it has been a difficult year for everyone around the globe. and we're not protected from that either. But we thank you so much for your continued prayer. But please don't lose focus of the rest of the world while we get caught up in things that are just in front of us, so we forget what the Lord is doing and that people around the world need our help and they're calling out. Don't get caught up in things that don't matter. Pay attention to the world. Pray for them. Satan is on the move. He knows once the gospel gets to the end of the earth, he's finished. And he's going to do everything he can to stop that. But he can't. And thank you so much for your prayer and all that you do for us. It's been a journey, and you've walked every bit of it with us. And you promised to hold the ropes for Ed and I, and we will always know that you're here for us. And we thank you for all you do. And I hope next time you get to see Ed.
Amen. Hold on, Carmen. Let's pray together. All right, Father, we thank you for what the ministry of the Glonfelters is doing. And Lord, we just ask that you will keep them encouraged. And Lord, continue to supply the resources they need, not just financially, but through the prayers of the church, through the body of Christ. May you truly be magnified and glorified. May you continue to take those seeds that have been planted over these many years and bear forth a fruit, a harvest that truly is beneficial to your glory. Thank you again for this time. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much. What an encouragement, right? I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we begin this morning our worship time together. And the first song that the Lord laid on my heart this week was Great Things. And I just, listening to Carmen speak and listen to the video of the promises that God has already fulfilled, and we know that he's going to do it again, right? So we're going to sing about that this morning, Great Things. Come, let us worship.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow.
promised he's going to do it. He's going to do it again. He has done great things. And he is good.
Oh, you are good. You are good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love. You are love on display for all to see. You are light. Closes in. You are hope, you are hope. You have covered all my sin.
And you are peace.
You are peace, you are peace. When my fear is crippling, you are true, you are true. Even in my wandering, you are joy, you are joy. You're the reason that I sing. You are life. Death has lost its sting.
No, I'm running to your arms.
And oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. The light of the world forever is. And you are more, you are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, you are Lord. All creation will proclaim. You are here, you are here. In your presence I'm made whole. You are God. Of all else I'm letting go. Too much more.
Back when I first got into town, and we thought we were at the most idealistic church in the world, and then COVID hits, and we emptied the church house, and then the tornado hits, and we tore the buildings down, and that's how the story has gone ever since, right? And at the same time, in the midst of all of that, we had some transitions happen, and Miguel Perez needed to step away from the Spanish ministry, and in that moment, I was left in one of the biggest lurches of my life. It felt like, what do I do now? Where do we go from here? I met with the Spanish people, and their hearts was just so glaringly obvious. They just needed someone to preach to them and teach them and love them and explain God's word. And so in that little short period of time, from the time we came until that moment, I knew of two men that I could reach out to. One was Roy Seals, who has been a longtime friend of our family and been a friend of Grace for many years. And over the course of time as well, in that short period of time, I got introduced to this man. Doug immediately got on the phone with me and immediately said, I'll do whatever you need me to do. I'll come, I'll speak, I'll be there. And this man doesn't know, I mean, I've tried to say it, but he just doesn't know how much of a burden he peeled off of my shoulders. And I knew I could trust that he was going to care for these people and communicate with them the truth and the word of God. And of course, I think his wife is even better, and she's way cooler even than him. And I think we both would agree we married up for sure. I love this couple, and I am so grateful for their friendship and the joy they are to me. And I've been a long time coming for an opportunity, and we've been trying to find some different individuals to come, and the Lord has seen fit to allow Doug and Paul to be here, and so I'm going to let them come and share with us today. I've asked them to share what's going on in their ministry world, give an update on that, but also just challenges from God's word this morning. And so Doug, you come ahead and share with us what you got for us today. Amen.
Our hearts are full today just being here and being able to be a part of your church as a supporting church, as a sending church a long time ago. And we are grateful for all that Grace is and has been, and just meeting Pastor Love in the last few months and being able to share. I love those folks that meet every morning. And just praise the Lord for that God was able to use us in this time to help that ministry. In the early days of our ministry in the Dominican Republic, I heard a missionary who came to the Dominican Republic give a story about an old man that was traveling. I think it's a poem, but an old man traveling through the jungles, and he was actually going home to die, knew that. And he came upon a river, and the river was too wide and too deep for him to swim or walk across. So he decided he would stop and build a bridge. Started building the bridge, and during the course of the time, someone came by and said, "Oh man, why are you building this bridge?" He said, "You're only going to die." And the old man said, "I'm not building the bridge for me. I'm building the bridge for the young that will follow." That was in 1988 when we began our ministry in the Dominican Republic. And I said, "Lord, let me be that. Let us be that bridge builder for the young. We can't do everything. There's only..." At that time, we were the only BIMI missionary in the Dominican Republic, and we knew that we had a task that needed more than us. And so we began to pour our lives into the nationals and national pastors, and saw churches built, churches started, churches built. And then God, in his time and his way, moved us back out of the Dominican Republic, and we were home for 6 years, pastored a church in Columbus, Georgia, then taught missions at Tennessee Temple Tennessee Temple College. And during that time, God continued the vision that we had when we first started in the Dominican Republic. God kind of said, okay, it's not done, but I have some work to do in you and through you later. And so in 2003, we were able to manage. We were able to go back to the Dominican Republic and pick up that dream and pick up that vision. And God has allowed us in those from 2003 to 2021 to continue to build bridges for the young. I have no problem being here today because there's a team of missionaries in the Dominican Republic, in San Pedro, carrying on the work that God laid on our hearts many years ago. There's a church, a thriving, discipling, building church of around 200 people that are coming on a regular basis. A Christian school of almost 500 students that is just a miracle, a manifestation of God's blessings. There's seminaries, there's property, 46 acres of property that will be the future homes of the rescue ministries, of the Lifehouse Girls Home. The Mercy Center is part of that through Allison and through her ministry, and the seminary, the school, the sports ministry, and I give God the praise for all that He has done. And I would say this: I'm saying this only for the glory of Christ. If you put it on a financial platform, and that's not what we're about making, building buildings. We're proud about building lives, but probably our property in the Dominican Republic alone would be worth $5 to $6 million. And that's God. And I praise Him for it. But it's not the buildings, it's not the church or the school or whatever, it's the young that we've been able to pour our lives in and part of the ministry with the Spanish church was once again another opportunity for us to build a bridge for the young that would follow. And praise the Lord, even in these days, in these later years that we're trying to find a place to dismount, Pastor, to say, okay, when do we go fishing? Paula won't go fishing, but I want to. But that's what we're looking to do, and trusting that in God's timing. But along the way, God has raised up the young that will follow through discipleship, through mentoring, and we praise the Lord for that opportunity. This lady, she said to me several years ago, she said, "All those girls you dated in high school and college would never go where I've gone with you." And I said, "They wouldn't, and that's why I chose you. That's why God brought you into my life." Paula's going to come and share some things with you this morning.
Wow. Honey, would you come back down here and stand with me? Stable me. I hadn't thought about it. It's a joy to be here. Carmen, you bless my heart. I'll be praying for your ministry. What an opportunity. Wow. What an opportunity. I want to tell you, it's been a thrill to be a part of this ministry here. You've prayed for us. You prayed for me, for us, through three battles of lymphoma. Amen. And I praise the Lord that He's brought us through this as a team and encouraged us. And I'm so thankful to be a part of your bridge making team. It was decided on a bench at Tennessee Temple years ago, and Doug asked me, "Would you be willing to go to the mission field?" And I said, "Yes." I'm so glad that God has worked in our lives like he has. Both of our children are grown. Allie, the earrings, she made the earrings. Allie with the Mercy Workshop in the Dominican Republic, and her husband, he's pastoring the church. And then Mark, our son, is pastoring a church in Thorsby, Alabama. And what a thrill. God is blessed, and I'm so thankful. But I wanna encourage you to pray for us, because we still have so much to do. I met with our Daystar, or with our Lifehouse board, on Friday, and I thought, well, it will, according to the agenda, it will be about an hour and a half meeting. 2 hours and 47 minutes, I timed it. 2 hours and 47 minutes. You know, this group of people just poured their heart out to things that we need to accomplish. So we need your prayer. One of the things, when we first started the Lifehouse, we started it in Constanza, Dominican Republic. And I want to tell you about a specific answer to prayer. We were in the States, I don't remember why, but we were in the States, and I had to go back down and go to the Lifehouse where Yancy Pimentel grew up from the age of 11. And as I landed, it took me longer to get through Santo Domingo than I had timed for. But when I got the rental car and started up through Santo Domingo and up the foot of the mountain, and I was praying, I'd ask other people to pray that I would make it up there before the fog set in. And I got on the road and just started up, and the fog came in. And I said, Lord, you've got to guide me. You've got to guide me. I was by myself, except, of course, the Lord was with me. And about that time, a Daihatsu flatbed truck pulled out in front of me. And I said, thank you, Lord. I followed him all the way up the mountain and down in the valley. I got to the boys' home, and they're normally sitting outside, or, you know, and I blew the horn, and they came out, and they said, we were just on our knees praying for you, praying for your safety. 2 months later, I had to repeat that trip, and I invited a couple to go with me, and as we, you know, it was W.A. Cofer and Carolyn, and W.A. was so excited to be on the trip, but they were talking, and I said, hey, let's not talk, let's just pray. Let's just pray for safety. As the fog came in, in silence, a Daihatsu flatbed truck pulled out and guided me. And I thought, Lord, that's really good. It's the same model. It was the same everything. And you supplied that need. And he took us through. Along the way, the truck driver decided he would stop for refreshment. And I got out of the car and I said, what are you doing? We've got miles to go before I sleep. And he said, it'll be just a minute. God answers prayer. We can't see. We don't know how. But God answers prayer. So don't ever give up praying. I got a little sheet of paper one time from a lady from this church, and she said, these are the times that I prayed for you. And Doug, these are the times I prayed for you. Now, that doesn't mean that when she was driving, she wasn't praying, but that was the time she was sitting down and she wrote a note. How precious is that? So when we can't do, God can. And I would encourage you to continue praying for us, especially this next year. One more minute. You're up here to help me sit down. No, I'm teasing. One more thing. We have rescued over 80 girls in the last 10 years in the ministry of the Lifehouse. Girls that had been abused, abandoned by family, by parents. And this year is going to be a big transitional time, and we need your prayer. We need your prayer. We need house parents, new house parents that can, in fact, we need two sets of house parents, and we need the financial support, but most of all, we need your prayer. And I would just encourage you, and on our website, you can look up the Lifehouse, get information, and just pray for us. God bless you. I love you guys. You're just special. Love you guys over here too. Pastor Ms. Love. You don't need it.
God has been good. God is good. And he will not change. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 1. And while you're turning, I'll read the scriptures just a little bit later. But just to put this message in context for us today, this is 2021. In an evangelism class at Tennessee Temple University in 1967, that's 54 years ago, we were taught in this evangelism class, if one wins one and wins another one, and you've seen the columns, you've seen the chart, the world could be reached in 33 and a half years. The question I have for us this morning, where do we stand in the accomplishment of that task? We're not there. Later on in my ministry, I was able to go back to Temple for recruitment purposes and went into a missions class to speak to them and just wanted to make something meaningful that day. And I proposed a question in the missions class and said, how are you going to reach your generation and finish the task of the Great Commission? Let them group together for a few minutes and discuss it, and they came up with some incredible answers to the task. And I thought, well, what would I expect from this group? This is in, 2005, 2006, as we discussed in that class. I thought, well, they're going to come out and say, with technology, we're going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. And that was not one of the points they made. Well, I said, perhaps mass media, getting the gospel throughout the computer age, or even mass evangelism. But none of that was proposed by this class. And the summary of their discussion reduced to three words, these awesome revealing truths that I received in that class, and I want to encapsulize those for you today. But they said this: number one, the gospel must be incarnate. Our lives must reveal the genuine life of Christ living within. They said we need to reach the lost by intentional, genuine, and caring relationships with friends, family, and people in order to bring them to Christ. And then we need to demonstrate the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, and the glory of God by our actions and by our deeds. I thought, wow. And with these truths in mind, and I believe they were on to something, and I said, is this what we need to do? And I looked in the scripture and began to consider what was being said, and these eternal truths are encapsulated in God's plan through Christ as revealed in our text, and I'll read it in just a minute, but there's three words that encapsulizes this discussion group and what these young people brought to point that day. And that's, first of all, the word incarnation. The gospel must be incarnated in our lives. It must be a relational gospel. We must build relationships with others to bring them to Christ, and then it must be demonstrational. In John chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, and for sake of time, I'm not going to read the passage of Scripture because many of you know Gospel of John as well as many of us do. But in verse 14, the Word was, in the beginning the Word was with God and the Word was God. We know this is Jesus Christ. In verse 14, the Scripture says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." These truths working in us, these truths that are in Christ Jesus, and because we are indwelt by Christ, we have a relationship with him. He not only comes in as our Savior, as our Lord, but also as our life. Then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's incarnational. The Word was flesh. Let's talk about that first word, incarnational. The gospel clothed in flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have the truth of the Word of God in Matthew chapter 1, 23, when the announcement of Jesus Christ's birth was coming. The Scripture says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. The gospel is incarnate. And may I just, I'm not going to share this, you already know this to be truth, but salvation is not the acceptance of a creed or a truth or adherence to a plan of salvation. It's not adherence to a religious form. Salvation is not joining a church. Salvation is not just finding your way. Salvation is the receiving, the incarnation of the divine Son of God to live with you and in you. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. He not only is we accept him to be our Savior, to be our Lord, but he must be our life. Incarnation, incarnated in you and in me. And then the Scripture says in John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's the relational truth. One of my favorite verses of Scripture, and if I can put it in context for you, is John 17, John 17, 3. Jesus has prepared his disciples in the upper room, chapters 13, 14, and 15, and 16, and then he gets up from the table in that upper room and heads out toward the Garden of Gethsemane. And on his way, I'm not sure this is exactly how it happened, but on his way, in the midst of his disciples, Jesus lifts his head to heaven, lifts his heart to his Father, and says to them in verse 3, I think probably chapter 17 is the most precious chapter of all the Bible, when you see the very heart of the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer to his Father. But he says this in verse 3, "This is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." If that's not relational, I don't know what it is. Jesus said that these disciples and us, because we're included in that prayer, he says that they may, this is life eternal. Not just praying a prayer and following a creed. It's becoming and having a living, loving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The word "know," that they may know, and I don't know a whole lot of Greek, but I'm told that this word is the intimate knowledge, the intimate relationship that we can have with God, our Father. through Jesus Christ. The phrase and the relational truth of the Word of God, I think, is if you follow it, the history of that relationship, that Emmanuel, that Christ with us, is that God's plan from the very beginning, that is the fact that he wanted to be a personal God known by us, his creation, and loving him and knowing him and walking with him, God can be known and we can be to be with him. This truth of Emmanuel, God with us, did not just begin with the birth of Christ, but was God's practice from the beginning and God's design for all of eternity, starting with the Garden of Eden and all the way through the Old Testament with Abraham and Moses and the tabernacle and the temple and all the truths and all the times that God came to dwell among his people. And even in the fact that we have Jesus Christ being called and being the God with us. And when he left, when he died on the cross and was buried and rose again and ascended unto heaven, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll send the Holy Spirit, who not only will be with you, but he will be in you. That's relational. One of my favorite verses of scripture, and I think many times evangelical pastors, evangelistic pastors, I will say, that have preached this term, this truth in John, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and to him and dine with him and him with me. And it's been preached, you hear God knocking on your door, open it. It's Jesus. He wants to come into your life and save you. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him, sup with him, and him with me. It's like Jesus is inviting us into the kitchen, if you will, to sit down at a cup of coffee and just be with us. That's what Jesus Christ, that's that relationship that we can have with Christ. And then the third word is demonstrational. We beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Son of God. There's a lot of passages of scripture we could go to at this time, but Jesus demonstrated. Jesus walked with his disciples and just demonstrated for them what it meant to be a follower of him. What does it mean? Jesus in the demonstrational part of the gospel, John Piper says this, I think it's probably is one of his most quoted passages of scripture, most quoted from his books. But he says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Worship is the fuel and goal of missions. It's the goal. It's the goal of missions. We simply aim to bring the nations into the white hot enjoyment of God's glory. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, incarnational, relational, and demonstrational. This is Christ. This is Christ manifested this, showed this while he's walking those 3.5 years on the earth. And during that time, he was doing something that we see the miracles, we hear the teaching, but Jesus' main business in that day was to walk 3.5 years with 12 men so that they might become, so they were his disciples following him, and then he left them the task of doing the same things that he had done with them. And you know what? That's the same thing that's possible for you and for me. It's called discipleship. It's called becoming conformed to the image of Christ. Paul says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Task number one for us in our lifetime in completing the task is first of all to be disciples. You can't make disciples unless you are a disciple. You be a disciple. A disciple is a fully devoted follower of Christ who pours their life into someone else and makes disciples who make disciples. I don't need to tell you, but probably, and I was thinking, okay, maybe I'll preach Matthew chapter 28, 19, and 20, and I'm thinking, how many times has that been preached in this church over the years? The command of Christ in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, is not to go and make converts. It's not going to win souls. It's not going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The imperative, I did get this in Greek class, the imperative of the command is to make disciples. Be a disciple who makes disciples. Be a disciple who makes disciples who make disciples. You say, well, that's not something that I've been called to do. Great Commission is not a suggestion, it's a commandment. We are to make disciples. We are to be disciples, fully devoted followers of Christ, and then pour our lives, building relationships, incarnating the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ is in us, living in us, and then we're to build loving relationships with other men and women and children, and pour our lives, the gospel of Jesus Christ, into them. Pour our lives into them until Christ be as formed in them, and they begin to do what we're doing. Sounds simple. It is simple if we follow the commands of Christ. The imperative is to make disciples. Make disciples, not converts. And may I say that discipleship's not a program. You preachers begin to hear about discipleship, or they are pastors, and say, they'll talk to their friends and say, what program are you using for discipleship? And it's what material, what curriculum, what book? This is the book of discipleship. And pouring your life into someone else to the point that they become disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, I like things kind of simple in my age. But you know what? How you can make disciples if you look at your Christian life and say, where am I spiritually? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being 10 of perfect conformity to Christ and maturity in Christ, or 1 that you're just beginning or you're not growing in Christ. But where are you spiritually? Maybe you're a number 2 or a 3 or 4 or 5, 7 maybe in your Christian life. Look around the congregation and find somebody that needs what God has taught you. You find, as a 7, you might find a 2 or 3 and help bring them up to spiritual maturity in your Christian life by taking the Word of God, pouring your life and the Word of God into them until they become fully devoted followers of Christ. And the relational part is so important in discipleship. As I said, it's not just a book. It's not just a curriculum. But it's living life with someone else. My favorite verse on discipleship is actually Mark chapter 3, verse 14. It says Jesus spent all night in prayer with his in prayer on the mountain, came down and appointed his disciples, appointed his apostles, and he said, the scripture says that Jesus appointed 12 that they might be with them, that he might be with them, and that he might send them forth to preach. That with him principle, you can't do discipleship by just opening a book or open the Bible in a Sunday school class, or even many pastors are finding that they thought, I can disciple my congregation from the pulpit, but it's not going to happen that way. It's going to happen when we all gather the unsaved in a relationship and pour our lives into them so they become born again, and then lead them to a relationship with Jesus Christ and completely following him. Discipleship is a relationship. The Apostle Paul made this very clear in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. He says, "And the things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." I'm grateful for the young men and the people that God has allowed me to. But let me share this one illustration, one truth. When I was teaching at Temple in 2003, there was a young man in my class from Miami. He was Hispanic, Cuban, and he played baseball. So I immediately began to build a rapport with him. His name was Gus Hernandez. Gus Hernandez almost put us broke. We weren't making much at Tennessee Temple College in those days, but I spent several afternoons, just bought him a hamburger and fries at the Happy Corner and shared Christ and poured my life into him. I loved Gus Hernandez. And everywhere I go, and when I'm with Gus, he's always saying to the crowd, introducing me to my grandchildren, he said, "Doug Hodges discipled me. Doug, I want you to meet your grandkids. These are people that he's discipled." And now Gus Hernandez is in Miami, Florida, was with Robbie Gallaty in Long Hollow Baptist Church in Nashville. He's gone to Miami to plant a disciple-making church in Miami, Florida, where he grew up. Folks, that's what it's all about. For the glory of God, be a disciple. And if you're not where you ought to be spiritually, then get on your knees and say, "Lord, make me what you want me to be," and get in the Word and let the Word get in you. And then you take what God gives you and you pour it into somebody else's life so that they can become a disciple maker and make others. And in that way, with this method of demonstrational, relational, incarnational, we can reach the world for Christ in our lifetime. To God be the glory. Let's do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We give you glory. We give you thanks. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to understand the truths of the Word of God, of going and making disciples, being a disciple, making disciples, and helping others to follow Christ. Thank you for all you're doing in our lives and in this church, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
What a great reminder and a challenge. So many times we get caught up in the doing, the how, and we forget the why. And it really is to draw us back to a place of worship, to understand that it is about our personal relationship with Christ that leads us to a corporate understanding as we take the individuality of our faith and bring it together into what we call the church, the body of Christ, and making that then the dynamic that reaches a world, because we're not doing it alone. We're doing it for the glory of Christ, but yet we stand sometimes individually with people. and we walk with them. We walk with them through life. And yet at the same time, if we are not enamored with Christ, what will they pick up on? What will they see? They're not going to be anywhere more enamored than we are. And I hope that we will day by day become enamored, so overwhelmed with the position, the priority of Christ. I hope our hearts are challenged this morning. If there's something in your life that's hindering an effective, incarnate, demonstrable relationship, why don't you deal with that today? And let it be something that God speaks to our hearts that we might truly be effective as the body of Christ. Let's stand together, if you would, and we're going to sing a song of closing. And maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe you need to take a moment right there where you're at, asking yourselves, okay, Lord, I've been consumed with what the media has been saying. I've been consumed with what's going on in my world. But how have I been demonstrating the gospel? How have I been demonstrating the peace that comes only through Jesus Christ? How is it that I have drawn my eyes away from a true appreciation of the glory and the splendor of Christ and have become enamored with what is the repugnance of this world? And I hope that our hearts can be recognizing where we can get so easily distracted. Let's sing a song and let our hearts really stew in this that we've been heard and hearing here this morning. Let's sing it together.
Church, arise.
Oh, church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies and battle cry is love, reaching out to those in darkness. Our call to war, to love the captive soul, but to rage against the captor. And with the sword that makes the wounded whole, we will fight with faith and valor. When faced with trials on every side, of nations, come see the cross where love and mercy meet, as the Son of God is stricken, and see this bills lie crushed beneath his feet, for the conqueror has risen, and as the stone is rolled away, and Christ emerges from the grave, this victory march continues till the day every eye and heart shall see him. So Spirit, come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. As saints of old still light the way, retelling triumphs of his grace, we hear the call and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory.
Amen. Has it been good to be here today? I think it's a great opportunity for us to take a moment and think about what God is still doing and to imagine what he is capable of doing if we will just simply surrender our hearts and our lives and understand that he's got us where he needs us to be. So be faithful where you are, and may the Lord continue to use you. I'm going to ask Carmen and the Glaubfelters to head back, and Doug and Paul, if you would, to go ahead and head back. And as we get ready here in just a moment to depart, I hope that you'll stop by, get reacquainted, get aware of what's going on in their world, and make sure that you greet them and encourage them, and make sure that you're praying for them. These are people who are on front lines of ministry in areas and parts of the world doing things on the behalf of Grace Baptist Church for the cause and the glory of Christ. So I trust that you'll make sure that you get by, encourage them, let them know that you'll be praying for them as we leave. God bless you. You're dismissed. And I hope that we will see you again next week, Lord willing. Don't forget, no activities here this evening. Look forward to a great week. We'll be praying for you as you go.